Hey, everybody. We have a sponsor here at Jiu-Jitsu Geeks. It is Avid Gamer Wear, a gaming brand, lifestyle brand for gamers. Y'all play games, don't you? Brian, Aaron?
I love games.
Games are my favorite thing.
Aaron?
Every day.
Every day. That was forced. That was forced. Hey, check them out at AvidGamerWear.com or on Instagram at AvidGamerWear. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Just to let you guys know, Hansel Grace loves the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks. Extending control. A buckle and bump,
redirect your force. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks podcast. I'm E.T., and I am with co-host Brian. Brian, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. This is we haven't done a podcast in a few weeks.
We have not. This might be the first one of 2015.
Is it?
I don't know. It might be. If it is, happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. We're in the middle of February.
Yep. Happy Valentine's Day.
we're missing, loosely, I say missing Aaron.
I don't mean it loosely. I miss him.
I know. He's a great guy.
Head of hair he's got.
He's tied up.
Forget about it. Yeah, he is. He's got stuff going on.
Yeah. Wife and kids. Don't get them, guys. Don't get them. They will greatly impact your podcast.
Yep. So that's it for us today.
So what are we going to talk about today? It's just you and I. We have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I got a little list here. Trying something new. Writing things down.
Yeah.
It's working pretty well for me so far.
How has the new year been treating you so far in jiu-jitsu?
It's been pretty good so far. Had kind of a back injury, just a freak thing happened yesterday, so I haven't. And this week we've also gotten pounded with snow in Richmond, Virginia, where we are. So I haven't trained at all this week, but being a little bit of an anomaly. But so far it's been going pretty good.
Welcome to the world of back injuries. I've been dealing with this since I was 26. Oh, so, right. Well, yeah, so it's something between your shoulders.
Yeah, like I was just stretching, like kind of, you know, leaning back in your chair at work, like, oh man, what a day. And felt something just pop. And like my arms like shook, and it took everything I had not to just shriek.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's better now. I've also got about 4 ibuprofen in my system.
Right.
So,
right.
We'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. I hope it's just pulled muscle or something. I've had it happen once before. So hopefully it's nothing. My immediate, like, I'm worst case scenario. So my immediate thing was, oh my God, my cervical spine, it's over. I'll never walk again as I'm walking to the bathroom.
You go into the worst case scenario every single time.
I literally.
Yeah. And you teach a Friday class at our academy. So are you going to train tomorrow? How are you going to tailor that?
Well, I've been doing, we've been focusing on back takes and, in February, and I certainly don't want anybody getting on my back
right
now, so I might just make it like an open mat, and I just kind of be...
Oversee it. Help people out, yeah.
Yeah, I might just kind of drill. So it's a lot of beginners, newer people that come in, and with the exception of... I mean, there's usually a couple of blue belts, and Dave, one of our black belts, shows up a lot of times, so... I mean, I tailor it more towards newer people.
I've had to do that before, where it's like, I've got to do it, but I can't really... You know, so just you just watch.
Yeah, I'll dress out, I might drill a little bit, but I gotta see how I feel tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah, so...
And you're renovating a house in your spare time, which is a lot of construction, a lot of...
I am, so I gotta rest up for that, because I'm pretty sure this weekend we gotta do... basically rebuild the kitchen. So that I gotta
put in cabinets.
Put in cabinets actually. And that's another thing that's kind of impacted the jiu-jitsu so far this year is not being able to train on weekends. So I'm having to kind of tailor my workouts and stuff to keep in mind that I'm pretty tired, you know,
right.
during the weekends or I can't train. So I might have to start coming in. I've been coming in on Monday and Wednesdays very much.
Yeah. Well, those are later nights in our academy.
They really are. I like earlier nights.
You know, yeah, same here.
If I didn't have to get up and go to work the next morning, I would gladly, you know, stay. And a lot of times, like, I do end up trying to be one of the last people on the mat. But our Monday and Wednesday classes, we have kids class. It starts at 6, ends at, like, 6:50. Got Muay Thai start at 7. And then you got jiu-jitsu at 8, and those are usually very full nights.
Right.
And you end up, you know, you get, say you, you know, roll 5 or 6, 8 times, however many times you want to roll, you know, you stand around and you bullshit for a little bit, you know, you talk about whatever, you watch people, you know, you rest for a little bit, somebody else asks you want to roll, you put your gi back on and roll some more, try to stretch at the end, you get home at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, it's not unthinkable to have it be that late. Then, like, oh, you got to put your ghee stuff away or wash it. You got to shower. You got to eat.
The worst part is fitting the meal in.
Yeah.
Anything after, like, 8 o'clock for me, which is all our classes.
Yeah.
They're horrible for me trying to eat because, first, I lose my appetite right after jiu-jitsu. Because, I don't feel like eating. I've seen people go, man, I'm starving. Mm-hmm. That's not me. I got like a 45-minute window where I don't want to eat. And I don't like eating late at night.
Yeah.
Because then I can't sleep and, the weird digestive process. Mm-hmm. But, it just screws with what I eat. But we don't have classes all throughout the day. So if you go where we go, you got to kind of take the later classes.
Yeah.
So that's hard.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the class I teach is at noon, but we also have one on Tuesday at noon. I love being able to sneak in there at lunch.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me wish, like, you know, Gustavo down at Virginia Beach, he's got a big academy full time. So he's got classes throughout the day. Yeah. It must be so great to be able to, you got a 9 a.m. class, a noon class, you know, whatever his schedule is. It'd be really great to be able to take advantage of something like that, but we have to work. So,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, we're all trying to dig our way out of the corporate world. I know I am.
Yeah.
That's what few endeavors are. Mm-hmm. Today, and I know we're going to talk about this, that really cool Roots of Fight DJ Penn documentary.
So cool, man.
Yeah. It's only like, four minutes?
It's about 6 minutes long.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But, I love watching stuff like that. Mm-hmm. At work, when you're the drudgery, I don't know what everybody here does that listens. You know, I hear back from certain people and we kind of converse a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have an office job, the drudgery of getting up and sitting in a cubicle, getting up in the morning, going to sit in a cubicle all day long, it's mind numbing. So whenever something really
it's not for everybody. Some people I work with, they're made for that shit.
Yeah.
You know, they like the structure, they deal well with it. I just don't happen to be one of those people, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I genuinely wish I was, because I'm in that situation.
Life would be much better.
It would be. You know, it's just like I wish I could just take this and it would be fine, but it's not like I like being a little bit more creative, a little bit more open with my time. And you have to kind of put all that on hold when you're at work.
Right.
But actually, that kind of goes into something else I wanted to talk about, too.
But that DJ Penn documentary came out today. And it's only a few minutes long, but that really changed my day. Because it was really done really cool.
It was.
The Roots of Fight, the guys who do the Roots of Fight Apparel Company, they make really cool short documentaries. They're all on YouTube or on their website.
Yeah.
And Roots of Fight
also make great apparel.
Well, they're a great apparel. They're an apparel company first, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've got a lot of really good shirts. They're kind of high-end.
Mm-hmm. They are.
They're at least $35 a piece. Mm-hmm. You know, you can find one on eBay a little bit cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
I think wholesalers put on eBay.
Okay, yeah. I was going to be like, that doesn't make any sense.
No, I think wholesalers would get them on there and put them at a bit of a discount. Mm-hmm. But they've got some really cool shirts out.
Okay. Yeah. Do they have a BJ Penn shirt?
I think so.
I think they just dropped it, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've got their... one of the first ones I think they put out, just the Elio versus Kimura.
I've got that one too.
Sure.
That one's really good.
They have some really neat ones on there, but I just don't have the money to be spending, you know, like $35 to $50 or $60
bucks. Right.
But I enjoy it. That was a super cool documentary. If you guys haven't seen it, definitely check it out. I think it's on Vimeo. But just go to their website or whatever or Destroyer maybe or someplace
BJ
else.
BJ Penn's website had it.
BJPenn.com, I guess, will have it.
It was, you know, we've all seen, you know, everybody in the jiu-jitsu world seen that photo that Nick the Tooth, who we interviewed late last year or mid last year, he put in the book Inside the Cage. It's when Gui Mendez and Rafa Mendez are watching Ronda grab BJ Penn, and they were just kind of sparring around, but that was part of this documentary they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So this video that they put out has a lot of, you have a little bit more of that session.
You get to see that moment, actually, because I was looking for it. I was like, that's, he's making kind of like face because she grabs him.
Yeah, it's kind of comical.
She does not look, she's not giving him any, like, she's showing him as much respect as possible before they start, but then like, they slap hands, and she starts literally, like, her whole posture changes. She starts stalking him down.
Right.
I go, oh, shit.
Well, you know, it's funny because, he's BJ Penn, but he's also first off, highly decorated jiu-jitsu competitor, a world champion of MMA veterans, you know, and he's a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say they're in the same class right now, maybe grappling-wise, maybe not in MMA, because she's a
maybe not
champion.
Maybe not in gi throws.
Right.
Yeah.
Not in gi throws, but...
And Nawaza or whatever. It looked like they had he had her back at one point.
Yeah.
It doesn't show the whole match, but it's so cool to see something like that. That's like, you know, one of those like dream matches that you could see, like, oh, you know, super high-tech, high-level Ronda Rousey's going against, you know, BJ and his name just destroying guys in competition.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool. So check that out if you haven't seen it, guys.
Yeah. It's, that was really cool to watch.
It's amazing. That was a great thing to watch at work. When I have free time, a couple other things I like to watch at work on YouTube. I wanted to give some, actually a couple recommendations.
Yeah, what do you watch?
If all jiu-jitsu related stuff, if you guys are new to the sport or just don't really watch a lot of video, it's a great way to, I mean, like, you know, just keep yourself involved. Say you can't get into the academy much 1 week or whatever, just watching some of the high level guys or some instructional. It's just that there's so many quick things on YouTube you can watch. The first one, and maybe my favorite one on this list, is a channel called BJJ Scout.
Mm-hmm.
There's no narration to these videos, but they're very well done. They're usually set to music, and the instruction or the breakdowns come via text on the screen and arrows pointing to
the key points of the technique.
Yeah, the most recent one may have been Sakuraba and Henzo Gracie breakdown before their match. It was interesting because it starts out with basically an overview of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Oh, it's, you know, systematically taking your opponent down and getting to a better position, you know, a mount or back position. And if you're on the bottom, you want to be in the guard because that's the staging point of your offense. And then it breaks down Sakuraba's grappling style, which is really interesting because it says he grappled counter to a lot of jiu-jitsu principles, meaning when he got taken down, he wouldn't go for a guard. He wouldn't try to wrap you up in a guard. He'd immediately start turtling, try to stand up. Or if he took down a jiu-jitsu guy and ended up in their guard, he would stand and disengage. He wouldn't try to pass because he didn't want to play that game too much. And would use, you know, the like neck cranks and some other more submissions that aren't necessarily focused on too much in jiu-jitsu, a little bit more unorthodox, that catch wrestling style. They're very well done, entertaining. Usually, say about 10 minutes long each. There's a good one on Gary Tonin that was updated just after his latest Metamoris match. He's done them on Leandro Lowe. A lot of good ones, so check that one out. Another one, I know Aaron will agree with me on this, wherever he is right now, Kurt Oceander.
They're the greatest.
You got to see those. They're very well done. They're very basic Gracie jiu-jitsu.
Right.
You know, that's what he's all about. He throws his own off-color humor in there,
which is great.
Don't listen. You can listen to that on headphones. Don't listen to it over speakers if you're at work.
Yeah, small children.
Yeah, or around small children. But definitely check those out. Those are great. Another one is Great Grappling.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the guy's real name.
That's Jeremy. Jeremy Ariel.
Jeremy Ariel, that's right.
He's kind of family. He's in our family.
Yeah, I think he's a Gordo black belt, right? He was at a seminar with us when Gordo came to Richmond with Gustavo.
Yeah.
And he showed us a move, I guess, that he liked. Gordo turned the floor over to him for a second, let him show a move. His videos are very detailed, really good stuff.
If you don't really know him by stuff. The name Jeremy Ariel, I think it's pronounced with that. Pronouncing his last name right, he goes by Gerbil.
Gerbil Jiu-Jitsu, I think, is his academy's name. I think he's in Charlotte?
Yeah, North Carolina.
Yeah, so that's another one to check out. Another one that popped up a few months ago is Gracie Baja Dana Point, which is run by Flavio Almeida.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he started out with doing a breakdown of, I think, Spider Guard or De La Hiva, and did a little bit of Butterfly. He kind of keeps his stuff themed, like puts out 2, 3, 4 videos that are all about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're all minute and a half, 2 minutes tops. Mostly it's narration, him speaking over them demonstrating the move already. So it's not a lot of talking to the camera. It's really great stuff.
I think I have an instructional, I think one of the oldest instructional DVDs I have is by him. I have to go back and check, actually. I think it's probably from 2006, maybe. I have to go back and look, because it's one of my, when I got it, of course, I was probably a white or a blue belt, but I think it really opened up a lot for me. So, yeah, okay. I have to check that.
It's a sweeps DVD.
That's it. I have that.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute. I'll let you borrow that.
Nope. It's mine. This is mine.
No, I'll let you borrow that. We got to talk about this. Okay.
This is another thing for another time. And the last one is Fix Your Jiu-Jitsu. It's another kind of a breakdown type of a channel like BJJ Scout. the girl that runs this, she will narrate over top of the videos herself, mm-hmm. Most of the time. And there's actually like breakdowns of certain moves or positions or people's grappling styles, and there's just like kind of highlight videos. She put out one couple, maybe a week and a half ago. It's of Gi Mendez baseball chokes.
Does she train at the Art of Jiu-Jitsu?
No, I don't know. I know nothing about her.
Okay.
But I just know that it's a girl because, you know...
Do you know her name?
The voiceover. I don't know her name. Okay. I mean, her videos don't actually get a ton of hits compared to...
But they're really good.
They're very good, so I'm giving her a shout-out. Fix Your Jiu-Jitsu. She also has a cool website that I went on today for the first time, and because I watched a video about drilling, and... she made like a drilling sheet, like with like this grid that like for every 20 reps you color it in, mm-hmm. and like it helps you get to like your 10,000 rep goal or whatever. Yeah. It's just a neat way to kind of keep track of those types of things. And I'm getting really big into drilling, so that's cool. That's another one to check out. So those are just a couple of shout outs or examples of if you're looking for something to watch.
You know, I think what people, just my opinion, when people start watching YouTube videos, especially white belts, they jump all over the place. Mm-hmm. I think they just, you know, it's almost like you just put in jiu-jitsu and you watch a bunch of stuff that doesn't connect.
Yeah.
But if you're going to use YouTube as a resource, plan it out a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. spend a bunch of time watching the same person, the same instructor, see if they have a series. Mm-hmm. That way you're not just, you know, trying to cherry pick a few guard passes or cherry pick a few submissions. Mm-hmm. You know, just kind of see it. Find like a website like this. People are going to have a flow of what they show on. Mm-hmm. So it's good to pick a series and kind of work with it instead of just jumping around.
I've only recently really started trying to pick out things or pick like a person that I like and mm-hmm. model after them or do what they do. Because I felt like I just needed a base in grappling before I could start doing that. Like, if you're 5 months into the game and you decide, you know, oh, I want to do, you know, you see something like some spider guard thing you like, it probably isn't going to work so well.
Nope.
You know, you don't have the fundamentals of how to grip the gi and keep those grips properly or how to bend your hips or bend your legs, move your hips. Like, I feel like... You almost just need to, it's fine to watch, obviously watch as much as you want, but you almost need to just kind of chill for a little bit and just grapple and just get used to moving around another body on the ground in that way. And then as you kind of start figuring things out, then you can start deciding, oh, I want to work on passing or I want to work on this or that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of my
take. That's cool. So yeah, those are good websites.
Mm-hmm.
Give them check them out.
Yeah,
you know, if you have 8 hours to kill in an office like I do,
yeah. Watch a lot of YouTube. Well, you better hope IT doesn't come to see you about the website you use at work.
I know. Jeez. So what else we got? What else we're going to talk about here?
What are you working on in your game right now? Currently,
you know, this is a crazy thing, and I told one of my training partners, Aaron, this. I feel so late in the game on this. Like, you know how some stuff people, like white and blue belts, you watch them, they're picking up and they're doing stuff that maybe you're not doing?
Yeah.
Simple stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I've been doing a lot and have a lot of success with is when I go to side control, scooping under arms, like hooking arms. I know this is kind of a hard concept, but if somebody's on their back and mm-hmm. you're getting side control, mm-hmm. instead of just putting one hand under somebody's neck,
mm-hmm.
I've actually been working on setups for submissions. By taking my other arm that's not under the head or whatever.
Which would be the foot side arm.
Yes.
Okay.
And scooping up under. Because most people just do that thing where they almost put the X across their chest.
Sure.
Protect their neck. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've been scooping up under their arms and pushing their arms up above their head.
Pushing which arm? Both of their arms?
Well, No, their forearm, actually.
The forearm away.
And I'll use my hip to get immediately get under the, to scoot under the other arm. So I'm getting my whole body under their arms.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been using that as a setup and just and working submissions off of that. And I feel late in the game. I told Aaron, mm-hmm. I feel late in the game off this. And I've been catching a lot of submissions that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, I don't know if anybody sees it coming with me or what, but mm-hmm. next thing, you know, I hit side control, next thing you know, their arms are, like, up here.
Up there. And that's great because that opens up the mount really easily. You can knee slide across instead of going across their belly where maybe you got to contend with their leg being in the way if they're defending, you know, the quote-unquote proper way. You can slide across their, you know, their sternum or whatever because their arms are you know, trapped above their head.
Yeah, so that's what I've been doing a whole lot of lately. Mm-hmm. But one specific position, not a whole lot of one specific position. It's been kind of a, I don't know, I haven't put a whole lot of plan into what I've been doing lately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. A problem with me is I get like, I want to work on so much at one time. Like, I see so many things I want to improve on that it's hard for me to just focus in on one thing a lot of time. I think what I've been focusing on most lately is, I told you, I think it was last podcast, it was like, oh, I've been trying, like, drilling, like, beer and bolo stuff. I put that away for now. It doesn't work well for
Probably
me.
Probably best.
Yeah, I mean, I gave it some legit drilling time, and it just doesn't really work so well for me. I'm going to have to, I don't do a lot of those lapel type guards.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of holding off on that for now. Replaced it with just working on more butterfly guard and half guard stuff because those meld pretty well together.
Right.
And I've been seeing some success with those things. And also just trying a couple of, been working the arm drag lately just from the open butterfly guard. Works super well. It's been working really well. And I think that might be like you just said, you know, people might not expect that move from you.
Yeah.
I don't think people expect it.
Right.
And that might be part, it might be kind of a false, like, false flag is like why it's working so well, you know, because.
Are you doing the variation to make sure I saw it right when you do it? Where you're taking your right hand and pushing that against somebody's.
Well, if I'm dragging on the, if I'm dragging on my left side, which would be their right hand, I take the left hand and kind of grab their wrist and kind of push it in. It's kind of their, so they're, think of like a waiter that's holding, that's holding like, you know, a towel
that's
in front
I mean.
Of them. Yeah. I got that off of, MG in Action. I think it was, Paul on that site that I was talking about it. It kind of gives you a little bit more of a structure to grab onto than just a straight arm.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Cause you get to slide right down. Like, you know, you're taking your coat off, could just slide right off of you, but bending their arm, you know, 90 degrees or whatever towards their body. So like they're doing the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, almost that gives you a little bit more and you grab cup under the armpit and pull and switch your hips works really well.
Right.
Yeah. That's interesting. It's just a different avenue. It's not something I usually do. And that's the funny thing about a lot of guards is closed guard is one thing, but there's like different types of closed guard. It's like, are they standing and you're in closed guard? Cause that's one set of attacks. Are they up on one knee because that's another set, or are they really keeping their posture close? That's a different thing.
Yeah.
So you just it's to really break it down and get good reps on everything. I feel like it takes a lot of time. You got to be almost methodical about just want a couple of things from each position to start. Just have something that you can depend on, and then branch out from there.
Yeah, that's a pretty good advice. You know, you'll never you know cover the whole spectrum of jiu-jitsu.
Nope.
Every time you think you do, it's, you know,
warm guard appears.
Or something. Yeah. And you find, oh, wait a minute, I'm not drilling this as much as I used to. And so my passing game is not the way it was. Or my standing passes are kind of, you know, so to really cover that whole spectrum, you need a lot of time on the mat. If not, if you are like us and work around, you know, jiu-jitsu around your job, you got to be pretty specific in your training.
Yeah.
You know?
And with not being able to train as much, I get to classes as much because of the side projects that I'm working on. I have been drilling more, and I'm fortunate I've got the second bedroom in my place is all mats, 100 square feet of those Gracie Academy mats, and a grappling dummy in there that I bought somewhere online years ago, I think with a tax refund or something. And you just got to pick, like with those, like that dummy's kind of a pain in the butt. Like if you actually sweep it over, you have to set it back up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to do things like leg drag
or
other type of submissions or things that it doesn't need to move a lot.
Yeah.
But even that, like I've noticed like big improvements just from being specific with, you can just grapple in general and get better at general grappling.
Right.
But once you have that base of general grappling, like I want to practice this move and this move and this move, and you just do those things, like it seems really obvious, but you get enough reps in, you'll be pretty much unstoppable at those moves, I think.
One of the things I've been working on is, just now that you mentioned it, I've been working on, passing open guard.
Yeah.
And, we had a seminar with Gustavo a while ago, probably about, what do you think, about 5 months ago?
I didn't come to it,
but it was about 5 months ago,
or
last
time.
And he does a lot where he, with whatever side you're passing, that leg side, you know, you step in really close. So it's hard to explain, hard to articulate this.
Yeah.
But passing open guard is something I do a lot, which is really cool because I drill it at home. I don't need a person. I can do it almost solo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stand up. I can, you know, I can grab a chair, anything, and put my leg super close to it. Mm-hmm. So I've been working with my son. I have a 4-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I know I mentioned him on here. Mm-hmm. Teaching him. And that's really open. I mean, that's really helped me a lot because me and him have so much time together when I, you know, taking care of him at night. Mm-hmm. I've been showing him this. He has no clue what he's doing. It's just a fun little drill.
Yeah.
How fast can you do this? How technically correct can you do this?
Yeah.
So that's something I've been really enjoying doing is working with Adam on that open guard.
Interesting.
Yeah.
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 The having someone to work with like that, either in my case the grappling dummy, in your case your son is really valuable. You know, you're snowed in one day and you want to train, but you can't, the academy's not open, or, you know, there's a foot of snow in your driveway or whatever, you can do that instead.
Yeah.
It's really valuable stuff.
I regret buying that grappling dummy I bought because it's not an articulate grappling dummy.
It's just straight arms.
Yeah, it's straight legs. And
that's like a slam. That's the one you practice like throws on, like, or slams or something like that.
That's basically what it is. It's 125 pounds, which is brutally heavy of dead weight.
Oh, yeah. Mine's 85, and it is
not fun to move around.
Horrible. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll drill throws on my grappling dummy, but I can't drill a whole lot else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can grow a mount. I'll do like side to mount to stuff like that, but I can't drill like really a triangle. Impossible.
Yeah.
On that doll. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mine's about 1.5 times wider than a normal person's shoulder. So those types of triangles and stuff are hard for me to get on.
Are they?
On him too. Yeah. It's like no normal person. Most normal people don't have shoulders this wide, and if they do, like, it's made of flesh, so they move a little bit. Mm-hmm. It'll, like, sink in. Not a grappling dummy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that I've been trying is, this is actually a concept that Kit Dale speaks about on his YouTube page, which is funny because he doesn't like drilling so much, and we just talked about that, but it's about mapping out moves, which I think you mentioned a little bit earlier, too, meaning you go from, like, a guard pass to side control, to how you're going to get to mount, to the position. And you make that like one pathway instead of just like picking like, I want to do this guard pass and I want to do this sweep and I want to do this. Like making like a road that you can go down is what you see a lot of these high level people doing, that they will drill one sequence and then they'll say, okay, now you defend this way. And so they're practicing like the different like forks in the road that they come to. And in the book, The Talent Code, that's referred to as, like, chunking information.
Right.
They just, like, chess masters and stuff, they're used to seeing pieces on the board in a certain pattern, so they don't actually have to pay much attention to either one piece, piece, because they just, like, oh, they know what pieces are in danger where, so they can kind of focus in on what they want to. And I think the same is true of, like, if you're going for the arm bar from mount and something happens and you've drilled, like, all those scenarios from there, it's almost like you're so used to what it's supposed to feel like when it's done correctly that when anything deviates, you're already a step ahead at least.
It's funny because the idea of mapping for jiu-jitsu has been in jiu-jitsu for a while. In fact, if you ever look at the books Passing the Guard by, I think, Joe Moreira. Moreira, I think I'm saying that right, and Ed Benneville. It's got this whole series, and they look highly complicated.
Yeah.
But there's all these the mappings, and I used to think, oh, man, I've got to map out options to options to options to options.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that at, like, blue belt.
Did you really?
And I spent a lot of time on it. It was a futile effort.
Yeah.
So probably around purple belt, I was like, I'm going to redo this. And I mapped out what I'm inclined to do in a role. Not what could happen, what I'm inclined to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that could happen that I'm not acrobatic like this. I don't do this. I'm not heavy like this. I don't do this. So I did options off of stuff that I just thought, would I do this in this situation? Am I into this? No.
Mm-hmm.
So that mapping, that roadmap doesn't have to be, the perfect role. It doesn't be all inclusive or the perfect role. It has to be that stage you're at now.
Mm-hmm.
And after you work with that for like, 6 months, do another one, because if you've trained right, and we trained and progressed, the way you roll is going to change.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, start over. So I realized, yeah, start over. Just start over with that mapping. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what I've done, and I need to do it now.
I was doing one last week. Actually, I have a notebook that I keep. I used to keep pretty diligent notes from each jiu-jitsu class, like just what we went over, just to remind myself. And I got out of the habit years ago, but I found it, and now I'm like the later part of the notebook. There's still a bunch of blank pages in between I'm using for those maps. And I kind of went down the path you went down, where I like was like, oh man, so I got to do half guard and side control, and I did all these. Like, and I started them. I was like, this is too much.
You can totally overthink it.
Oh, it's a potential nightmare scenario. Yeah. Like, so you really, what I'm trying to do now is just map out whatever position I'm working on, which in this case happens to be the butterfly guard, and I'm just mapping out. I just started at the top and just did one line with a couple of branches off of it, and I just like circled one in pencil, and that's what I'm going to work on.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just drill that whole sequence, and then when I feel good about that, I'll just go to the next little branch and then start a new line and a new line from there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, you know, if you get good, diligent drilling, like, you don't have to get your 10,000 reps on anything, on any one thing before you progress to the next thing. Like, you could, you know, alternate or, you know, you get pretty decent at one thing, or some things you might catch on pretty quick and you're like, okay, I can, you know, I'll just keep drilling this a little bit, but I'll go to something else that I might have a little bit more hard time with.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm becoming a really big, proponent of drilling. You can tell the people that drill stuff versus those that don't.
Right.
That they've got that game down, and anything you think you can, like, I'm going to throw this monkey wrench in their plan, like, they've already seen it. They already have five different ways to deal with that.
Yeah. And, so, you know, that's, I think, I know you and I both will want to open mat, be like, hey, let's drill this.
Yeah.
Let's drill this.
Yeah.
That's, you know, find that time. If it's not in your regular training session, do you have a few open mats? Mm-hmm. Take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, drill one thing, mm-hmm. drill two things. Mm-hmm. Man, it's so beneficial.
It'll make you better. Good segue into the next thing I wanted to ask you. Like, you said, like, oh, you'll get together with me and drill something. How do you decide when you come into class and, you know, you're done with the warm up, you're done with the technique, and it's time to roll? How do you decide who you're going to roll with in a class?
You know, we don't have so many people in our academy that we're constantly seeing new faces. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm sure if you go to Henzo's.
Yeah.
You can go to a class that if you don't go to normally, you're going to see,
you won't know anybody
even
there.
Even if you're a purple brown belt, you might not know everybody there. Mm-hmm. We know everybody in our academy. So we
probably, unless they're brand new. Visitor, which is happening.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, mm-hmm. I've got probably three or four people I know that are going to push me super hard.
Uh-huh.
And you can't just stick with those folks because you need time to work stuff out in a lull.
Yeah.
So you got to, for me, I just, these two people are white, blue belts. I can roll with them and try out stuff. But I need to roll with, you know, the brown, mm-hmm. black belts because I try to just mix it up between what's going to be a harder roll and what's going to be something where I can try things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about you? What do you do?
I will definitely, I start at the top and work my way down.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Like a reverse pagoda.
Yeah. I
game of death backwards.
I try to catch it. We have, you know, we're fortunate. We have several black belts that Chris has promoted in the last couple of years, and I see them on a pretty regular basis. A couple of them, and I try to roll with them every class, and I try to be respectful of them because I know, like, it's not always fun to roll with the same person. I don't want to constantly be, like, tugging on their gi, like, hey, you want to roll? Even though I know I just rolled with them yesterday or something. Yeah. And they got, you know, black belts probably have a lot of people that want to roll with them on a regular basis. But, you know, being a little selfish, I want to get myself better, too. And I know that nobody's going to push me like they can because they know my game pretty well. They've seen it progress. They've been there since before I was there. So they saw me come from nothing to the nothing that I am now. Mm-hmm. And
you're big nothing now. You're a little nothing then.
Yeah, big nothing now. But I also know that there's... I try to roll... If I haven't seen someone in a while, in a couple of weeks, I'll try to roll with them. Just to kind of take the pulse on where I am compared to them. Most of the purple and above I see on a weekly basis, though.
Yeah.
So, but it's usually like blue and white belts that I don't see all the time. Nothing too much really changes.
How do you roll against somebody who had... And you can be respectful on this, but somebody that you know is going to, and I hate to say a waste of a role, but a waste of 5 minutes, waste of a round. Do you avoid those people?
I will at times.
Me too.
Because I'm almost maniacally obsessed with getting better at things at this point in my life. It could be anything.
Anything, right.
You know, I just, and jiu-jitsu is definitely one of the big parts of my life where I want to improve as much as possible.
Yeah.
And be a value
some
to
myself. Some people don't have that mindset with jiu-jitsu. Some people it's just a hobby or a status thing.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't really, they're not there to work super hard or they don't want to get pushed or anything like that. Like, it depends. Like, if it's a person that's there to try, you know, brand new white belt.
Right.
That's probably not going to be a super valuable exercise for me, other than just I'm rolling with someone that doesn't know about grappling. They're going to maybe try some crazy shit. I'll get an opportunity to, oh, I'm not used to someone trying to backwards somersault out of my guard or whatever.
Right.
I'll gladly roll with someone like that. But
right.
other people that are maybe just looking to camp in my guard and not move or get on top and they'll just stall, like, I'm pretty comfortable in most bad positions.
Yeah.
But if I do, you know, jiu-jitsu is like anything else. Like, if you want to play soccer, you have to have someone to, you know, run towards your goal. If someone just picks the ball up and runs away, that even the best soccer player in the world can't defend against that.
Right.
If you're just going to sit on top and just, like, squeeze the life out of me and just be like, all right, well, what am I, like... It's kind of hard to move someone, even if you're super good. Like,
yeah.
I do try to train against that sometimes. Like, I need to be able to move you, even if you don't want to move, just from a self-defense perspective.
But it's not
always fun, and it's kind of a waste of time sometimes.
Yeah, in the big picture, that's a five-minute round. You know, we have limited time to train.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the same way. I'm just like, you know what? My time may be best served somewhere else.
You got to look at the opportunity cost, I think.
Yep.
You have to, you know, oh, I've got two black belts, a brown belt, and, you know, a brand new white belt here. Like, if the white belt asks me to roll, or, you know, if I feel like I should roll with them, I will. But if I know one of those is going to be kind of like not super beneficial, I'm going to make sure I get the benefits
yeah.
of going to a training session first, and then I will. Hey, you know, new guy, you want to roll around or something?
Yep.
And there's a new guy that's been coming to class on Fridays. His son has been training with us, I think, for he said about 18 months or two years or something like that. Nice guy. He's usually one of the last people I roll with. I let everybody else kind of roll with him first because lately I've Dave hasn't been the last couple of classes, so I've been the higher ranking belt there. So I just kind of I try to roll my way down. You know?
Right.
So I'm tired by the time I got, you know, the newer people, and maybe I should do it the other way where I'm tired against the really good guys. I'm usually tired regardless, because you know, I'll try to go, you know, 4 or 5 rounds in a row.
Yeah.
And I'm usually pretty tired after
yeah.
that. Yeah. So, but that's a good question. Yeah. Unfortunately there are some people where it's not worth your time to roll with them. Like they're not really there to do anything or they're just why are you even really here?
What's their intention? What
yeah.
are you here for? Just
yeah.
get out of the house.
Yeah.
You're not really pushing. You're not really warming up. You're not part of that team, so
yeah.
you know, yeah, I understand.
And some people, you know, if they're like that, it's they might not be much of a challenge for you. It's fun just to, this might be kind of evil, just run a clinic on them,
yeah,
for lack of a better way to say it. You know, you're just like, all right, time to bring out my I got my A game. That'll be my first tap on you, and then I'll give them a B game. Then what was I trying 3 weeks ago? That move? Oh, C game. All right, I'll try that.
What was that thing I saw in a dream?
Yeah, yeah. Try some weird catch wrestling stuff. Whatever you want to do, or you'll just lay down or let them take a good position and start from there or something.
That's a segue that I want to bring into. I've been watching some catch wrestling lately.
Uh huh.
And catch wrestling for a jiu-jitsu guy is very interesting
mm-hmm.
because it has a lot of stuff in it that look a bunch of cranks.
Yeah, cranks, suffocations.
Cranks, suffocation,
yeah.
like that. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people call that dirty jiu-jitsu when you bring it to the Jiu-Jitsu Academy. And I want to mention that, dirty jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What, you know, what is acceptable jiu-jitsu? Because some people have the idea a tap's a tap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I altogether agree with that. You know, if you're looking just to get somebody to tap out, yeah, okay. Maybe take your shaved head and run it across their face. You know.
You know what? That's how I open people's guards. So don't even start with that.
Well, we've dealt with dirty jiu-jitsu players before, uh-huh. and mm-hmm. there's that level of like, you're intentionally trying to do dick moves. I've got to work the next day. I don't want to come to work with that geeper
on your face.
So. What's acceptable, you know? When I started back in 2004, a lot of stuff was acceptable because people were trying to figure stuff out.
Yeah.
Now, mm-hmm. I think there's enough information, you know, out there of, you know, you don't need to be a douchebag on the mat.
Well, stuff. I mean, I'm really interested in catch wrestling as well, actually, and I've got, there's some stuff, it's harder to find catch stuff. On, like, YouTube.
Well, I don't mean just catch wrestling. Yeah. I looked at catch wrestling as, like, oh, man, that looks really painful. But
Those look like pain compliance.
Right. But then I start looking. And some dirty jiu-jitsu or some of these, you know, moves are pain compliance. Mm-hmm. But they seem to... I don't know. Is it okay to cross-face somebody in a casual role?
Yeah.
Do you do that?
Yeah. Let's see. I keep... You almost have to consider who you're rolling against. Like, if it's a brand new person that doesn't know any better, I give them the benefit of the doubt that they're going to learn.
Right.
If it's an... It doesn't happen too much, but it has happened to me before. And unless it's something that's going to debilitate me, like, if they're trying to, like... If I'm close to getting my eye jabbed or, like, you know, they grab a hold of one finger to defend a choke or something... I will abandon that technique or be like, watch my eye or something like that. I'll say something. But I almost take almost a twisted amount of pride in, you know, someone's like really grinding their forearm and elbow across my face trying to get me to open up for something.
Yeah.
I'll let them do it. Like, I'll like stubbornly, like, I'll be like, you know what you're doing. And yeah. I know you, and I know that you know. That I know what you're doing, so I'm just gonna let you fucking do it, and right. I'm not gonna give you what you want. Still,
right?
You
know, like, and see, I've gotten that too. Yeah. I will grit it out.
Yeah,
because I want to show you that this is you know, not getting the desired results.
I want it to be when I do it. I want clean technique.
Right.
You know, timing and leverage and all that good stuff that jiu-jitsu is known for. I don't want to. Oh, I smash my elbow into your Adam's apple, and it made you drop your hand, bring your hands up, and I was able to mount.
Right.
I don't want to do that.
I don't do that either. Yeah. And you know what? I think it's a personality trait in somebody.
Yeah.
I don't, because you know, people that do the dirty jiu-jitsu or you know do shit like that, mm-hmm. they do it on a constant basis.
Mm-hmm.
So when you roll with them, you kind of take an account. Okay, they're gonna try to. You know, put their elbow against the bridge of my nose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to try to, you know, put fingers in my ears, or you know, they're going to try to do shit that just shouldn't, you know, wouldn't be done. Yeah. You know, so I think it's a personality thing too. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I understand, but I hear this. Well, if you ever call somebody on it, they go, "Well, it's the fight."
Yeah, or I didn't. Oh, I didn't mean to do that, or something. Yeah, that's why I don't. That's why I. I'm pretty unconfrontational, so I don't really want to start some shit with somebody about something like that. Which, you know, I'm sure we've all accidentally like hit someone in the nuts before, or I've accidentally poked someone in the eye. I got poked in the eye the other week by one of the white belts in Friday class, a total accident. He wanted to stop. He's like, "Oh man, I'm sorry. I know that got in there. Like it was pretty bad for a second." And he's like, "Oh man," and he like tried to disengage. I was like, "No, let's keep going." I know he didn't mean it. It didn't happen again. But, you know, I kind of try to train through those things sometimes because, say, for a self-defense perspective...
You're going to need that.
Yeah, you're going to need... You can't stop. Like, I saw... Who was it that I saw an interview with or something? Maybe Mike Fowler was talking about that same thing. Like, you accidentally get poked or hit or something, don't stop. Because in a tournament, ref might not see it. And if you're like, stop, like, is that a tap?
Yeah.
In a tournament, it might be, or you know, it might take a second for the other person to realize what happened and stop. And by then, maybe things have gotten worse if you let up. So keep going. I try to keep going unless it is like something horrifically wrong. You know.
Yeah, you know, I understand that, but my point is, you know, some stuff, you know, you putting your form against my teeth and trying to just pull, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to, you know, I will tell somebody. Mm-hmm. I don't like confrontation either because we all train together and you don't want to, you know, but you don't want people to get hurt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't want, you know, a dental bill is huge.
Yeah.
Skin won't heal. It'll look weird in the office.
Yeah.
But, you know, some things are going to be a little costly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's going to put me out of commission for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a point now where I... And
what do you do? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I will tell... there's been a few people that have been like, hey, you know what you're doing on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
not knock it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to go into work. There's one of you being a dick to five of us.
Mm-hmm.
If five of us were a dick to you,
mm-hmm.
that would be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just going to call you on it now. Or I'm just not going to roll with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that plays into the, I guess, the question we were just debating.
Yeah.
Who do you roll with and who do you not? If you think there's an above average chance that you're going to end up, like, looking like you got in a fight with a bobcat, you know, and you're scratched all up on your face because they have long nails, or they flail, or they just can't seem to not punch you in the nose... Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with being like, I'll make a joke out of it. Like, one of my favorite training partners is a blue belt that we roll with, Shad. He is a wonderful human being and is getting really tough. He's a strength and conditioning coach. He's strong. He's very explosive. I almost always get kneed.
Always
get kneed in the face, like trying to pass his guard. And he is always incredibly apologetic, but it always happens.
Right.
And I said something to him last time because I forgot my mouth guard and he wanted to roll, or I wanted to roll with him because I like rolling with him. And I was like, I forgot my mouth guard, so I guess I'll just make an appointment with my dentist or something. He's like, oh, man, you know, I'm so sorry. You know, I don't mean to do that. And
yeah, well, it's not...
The intention is not
that's
there.
Not his that's not a character flaw in him.
That's a physical flaw.
That's a physical...
Well, it's just that he... It's just how he...
How he moves his body. Yeah.
How he moves. Yeah. The intention there, I think that's a big part of it, too. The intention is not, I'm going to do this little... and, like, get you to turtle up or something.
No.
Like, He's trying to get better, and
he would not do it if he could.
He's throwing bows, you know.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that's an interesting point to think about. I think it's all about I think intention. It just comes down to intention. If somebody's trying something, like if a wrestler comes in and tries a can opener or whatever, I look at that as, is that a legit wrestling technique? It probably is, you know. And I need to, as a jiu-jitsu guy, he came into my academy, I need to be able to tough that out or find some other way to deal with it. Like, I can't be like, hey, man, don't do that because, like, why not? Like, you can't be like, oh, you know, like as a kid, like, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. Like, why can't you do that?
Right.
So you can physically do that because he just did it. You need to figure out a way to deal with
it. It's funny that you mentioned that because... When I used to, I started jiu-jitsu and I was doing taekwondo and hapkido.
Mm-hmm.
And after I got my blue belt, a new blue belt for a while, and jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
And there was this, the next crop of black belts. We had only had a few. We had a very small taekwondo club.
Mm-hmm.
They had to grapple as much as the taekwondo person can grapple, which is basically fight for your life.
Mm-hmm.
The taekwondo
picture a cat that's been dumped into a bathtub.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to say, but that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And my taekwondo instructor had wrestled a little bit in high school, so he knew the can opener.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a blue belt at that point in jiu-jitsu, the second degree black belt in taekwondo. And I wasn't there to witness this,
mm-hmm.
but later, during this one kid's black belt test, the taekwondo instructor can opened him.
Pause for a second. Are they grappling during their black belt test?
Yeah, it was just parts. It was a two-day test. One day is a lot of you know, physical sparring, stuff like that. The next day is your demonstrations and breaking and all that stuff.
Okay.
So the night before your the ceremony, you have to do like 5 hours of sparring, different types of sparring and stuff like that. Yeah, trust me, it was exhausting.
Okay.
So after he got his black belt, this kid Jeffrey, after he got his black belt, he came to me and he was like, hey, I got can opener, and he said, I just tapped. I didn't know what to do. Do you know what to do? And that technique, for us, now we know how to deal with that. But for him, it was a total unknown WTF do I do. And I was like, easy. Bring your hands up. Peel that off.
Mm-hmm.
Peel it off your head.
Yeah.
Either push, Jim, push.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, I stopped doing taekwondo about 2-3 years later. He was like, you know, whenever we grapple with their groomed grappling, and he does that. I just push his hands off. It's so easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the funniest. Like when you get a little bit of knowledge,
yeah,
and you have, you know, it totally empowers you.
Mm-hmm. That's what jiu-jitsu is all about.
It really is. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I felt like, you know, almost like Yoda, like, oh, reach up and take your tongue under it. You know,
that is why you fail.
Yeah. Because you don't do that.
Yeah. But he started doing that. And it was like, and now the instructor, who I won't say his name, he'll never listen to me, Dave. He can't do that. He can't do that because now this kid Jeffrey's like, oh, look, put your hands up. Well, now that's totally off the table. Yeah. So I mean, I love that. I use that as an example of keep progressing in your training. Of course, they have no ground program, but mm-hmm. just in the realm of martial arts, you want to get better. Mm-hmm. Now you have to, because somebody knows your one trick.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
now somebody knows your one trick.
Yeah, and I think that that's. The intention there, that's almost a little different. Like, the intention there is they know how bad a can opener will hurt.
Yeah.
And, like, they want you to open up. But it is also a technique. But that's a technique that, it's almost like a technique that's a non-harmful technique. I'm sure you can get hurt doing that, but, like, gouging somebody's eye.
Right.
That's like a non-repeatable technique. Like, you can't do that more than once.
Right.
You know? You can can opener someone.
And they'll say, you know what, this sucks. Oh, my guard.
Yeah.
There you go. Get gouging the eye, you can do damage the first time.
You can only do it
time.
Twice.
Yeah. you're gonna do some damage. You really can't gauge the effect of that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do it safely. So, yeah.
And I guess that's kind of the sticking point of BJJ as opposed to other martial arts is, we practice, you know, the Pai Mei eye pull out from
right.
Kill Bill 2. Like, how do you actually train that?
Yeah.
Like, I can train breaking someone's arm over and over and over again without actually doing it. Or, like, until the pain is too much and they tap out. But you can't repeat that. You can't practice kicking someone in the balls as hard as you can, like, and seeing how they will actually react to it, because nobody's going to want actually let you do that.
Yeah.
You know? So, it's an interesting thought.
So, what else we got? Is that it for us? Do we have anything else? We're hitting 50 minutes.
I think that's I had on there, and that I think this is the how we got the namesake of this episode. Do you have any role models? People you try to... Yeah, I get it. Role model. People you try to model your jiu-jitsu game after.
I do.
Who?
Dean Lister.
Dean Lister. Oh, boy.
He is... I know
is that why you are constantly shrugging your shoulders to have yourself have no neck?
No.
No?
I'm just constantly don't know the answer to your questions. Oh. I'm constantly shrugging.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Now, I've always... Dean Lister was somebody who... He's still like a top name,
yeah.
But when I started 10 years ago, he was a top name then,
yeah.
And he was getting into MMA, mm-hmm. or he was in MMA, mm-hmm. but he was still really big on the grappling scene, so I got a lot of his, you know, magazine articles and instructionals. He was one of the first I was bought, mm-hmm. and I'm 192, mm-hmm. 192 pounds. He's a big guy,
yeah.
so I don't roll like Guy Mendez. I
yeah.
love the stuff that he does,
yeah.
but bigger guys always kind of watch him and see how they take smaller moves and mm-hmm. make them work for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And Dean Lister's a big, muscular dude. Mm-hmm. So him, and I love the fact that he has now been in the game for so long. And I guess two years ago, he was an ADCC winner.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Where a lot of guys kind of retire just to training,
mm-hmm.
And building up other champions, he's still competing at the top, the highest levels. And I'll tell you something else. I love his philosophy. I love hearing him talk about philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a video online, and you can probably tell me what it is. I can't think of the name of it, but it's like, why do you train BJJ? And it's a bunch of different folks from maybe Stuart Cooper films. I'm not sure.
Probably. Mm-hmm.
And Dean Lister has said something that resonates so hard with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about how you can become accustomed to a lifestyle where you just chase the 9-to-5 dream of just living for paycheck to paycheck, and you can be accustomed to misery.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the longest time, I became accustomed to
mm-hmm.
not thinking outside the borders of my life. Well, when he said that, it's like a year or two ago, I heard it. It totally resonated with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And anyway, he's one of the role models that I have. What about you? Who do you look at and say that's somebody who? Don't say Dean Lister.
I was just gonna compliment your choice. That's. Dean's awesome. He's one of my favorite grapplers.
Yeah.
That's a great choice. And yeah, I think that is a Stuart Cooper film where he makes that that quote. And you know, if you don't like what you're doing, don't do it. I have the audio of that on my iPod. I listen to it all the time. Makes me cry.
It's very simplistic
yeah.
advice, But it's when you think
about it. It's hard to follow in today's world.
It is. But then, if you look at us through like that huge prism of we're just a bunch of ants on a planet,
yeah.
Stop doing what you don't want to do. But you can apply that to anything.
Yeah.
You're in a bad relationship.
Yeah.
You're you know, you find yourself drinking too much. You're doing something you should stop. Make the steps and stop doing it. I think that's the philosophy of being. It doesn't mean drop out of society because he's a part of it.
Yeah.
But stop doing that thing that's contributing to your misery.
Yeah.
You know, I love that about him. And he's just a phenomenal grappler.
Yeah,
so
true. Mine's going to be Marcelo.
Yeah.
Marcelo Garcia. Yeah. I've really gotten into his style and to just watching him roll a lot the last probably 6 months or so. Got the MG in action. If you haven't tried that out yet, definitely do it. I think you get a trial for a couple of days or something. It's well worth it. Or he has a lot of stuff online on YouTube. You can check out. He's just got a really. I really like his style. It translates really well, the gi or not,
mm-hmm.
Which is something I'm trying to focus on. I did a lot of his stuff that I'm drooling these days, arm drag, guillotine, north-south, is from him, and that's stuff that is applicable gi and no gi. Like, the guillotine is a little bit harder to get, but you can loop under for a loop choke pretty easily. And when the last no gi class I did, which is last week, I worked in it, and all stuff works great, but it also works with the gi. So, I mean,
yeah.
I just really like I think I read somewhere or heard somewhere that 50% of his classes are without the gi, and he's one of the top grapplers in both.
Right.
You know, ADCC champ, Pan Am champ, world champ. So, I just really like it. And the fact that he just seems like he's always got the biggest grin on his face.
Yeah.
He shakes your hand, and like, he doesn't like do the shake hand and fist bump thing. He like will shake your hand with both of his hands before
like
it starts.
Like, that's sincere.
Like, he's like,
very sincere. Thank you for rolling training with me.
I'm so happy to see you.
Yeah.
Like, so happy that you're here. And he looks like he has just a really good time.
Yeah.
And I think that's super important. That's what it's all about. And he's a beast. Just a monster. Like, you see these videos of current world champs. I'm not saying he's not a current world champ, but he hasn't been competing as actively the last year or two. They come in and just get smoked by him.
Right.
Like, much bigger people, like, you know, younger or whatever. It's just like, holy shit. Like, he's
I,
on a next level.
I see him in like the timeline of jiu-jitsu. I see him becoming and Hickson's in his 50s.
Yeah.
Marcelo's in his 30s. I see him on that Hickson path
mm-hmm.
of, you know, he's going to be really great
mm-hmm.
for a very long time. And not like, okay, Keenan's going to be great for a really long time, but there could be other guys that come up at 20 years old
mm-hmm.
and just start kicking ass. I see Marcelo as being that master on the mountain, just like Hickson is.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing about Marcelo is he drops the best advice. You know, just like Hickson has, but Marcelo's got really good principles that he gives out of jiu-jitsu. And
mm-hmm.
I don't watch a lot of, I watch his videos like everybody else, but his principles, I just go, oh man, that's what I glean most from him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I see him as becoming that master on the mountain, that wise sage,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool because he's not a Gracie.
Yeah, that is something different about him. He's got
yeah.
a completely different style, actually.
He does.
If you, like, I've watched so much footage on him the last couple of months, you see how, he does these couple of things. He does everything well.
Right.
He's Marcelo Garcia. But he does a couple of things very well.
That you
he
can
does,
plug and play into your game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Or that I'm trying to that work pretty fucking well. Like, he does it, you know, his whole guard, his whole bottom game is essentially hook sweeps.
Yep.
Butterfly sweeps.
Yeah, arm drags.
Arm drags to the back.
Yep.
And from when he gets on your back, you know, just go ahead and tap. Because it's like, he's got a couple of chokes that he does. If he loses the rear naked choke, it goes right to like the guillotine choke
yeah.
or the north south choke. It's like, it's almost like he's got a really simple game. Like, he just plugged like six things together and he just does them better than anybody else,
yeah.
and no one can stop him from doing them.
Yep.
So yeah, that's my role model. I'd
that's
say,
cool.
Is
as the namesake
yeah,
of this.
Yeah, and if I ever get back up to New York City, the last time I was in New York, I visited Henzo's Academy, which was awesome.
I went there too, but I went there off time, so I didn't
I did
really
too.
See
there
anything.
Was no classes,
yeah.
and the guys were just like, take your shoes off, you can walk around, take pictures, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Really neat. I want to go to Marcelo's place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to go there, and I want to train there and see if I can train with them.
Yeah, I wonder mm-hmm. if they let people drop in and train.
Who knows? I would probably try to call ahead, because that's, Henzo's, you go in, and it's a lobby.
Yeah.
You walk into a lobby, the elevator doors open on Marcelo's place, and you step like 10
right
feet
on the
mat. Yeah, so I would, it's probably maybe a call ahead or Pam McAfee type of thing.
Yeah.
I just want to see.
We'll find out.
So,
we should do that. We should go up there.
I would love to go up there and, yeah, train. Or even, like, up to, like, 50-50.
Yes.
Train with Ryan and Seth.
We're very close to that.
Yeah,
so.
We really are. Maybe that'll be a podcast resolution this year. Go up to New York or D.C. or both if things work out and see if you can get an interview with those guys or at least train and talk about what the training's like
up there.
Those high-end world-class academies. Not the Top Game, is it? But...
Well, you mean the celebrity, the jiu-jitsu celebrity.
Yeah, it's a celebrity.
And now they're for a reason, because in jiu-jitsu, you're not going to be a celebrity unless you're high caliber.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Except us. I think we're celebrities. Uh-huh. You know, by the way, I want to give a shout-out to our Filipino listeners, because our podcast downloads in the Philippines are really, really high.
Are they really?
Yeah, dude. It's
is
pretty
that where
high.
All those Facebook likes are coming from? We're getting, like, a pretty decent amount of those every day.
I
get alerts every day.
Every day. Multiple.
Yeah.
Multiple.
Yeah.
So I want to say thank you to the people in the Philippines for listening to us. It's cool to see jiu-jitsu growing everywhere. And that's really cool about this podcast is we just record it and you put it online and it goes on, you know, out in the ether and who knows who picks it up and listens to it. Mm-hmm. So everybody, thanks for listening. Mm-hmm. Thanks for all the feedback we get. You know, I appreciate it so much. And please tell a friend so we can just keep this going. And look, we haven't monetized this. So we pretty much just go off of support,
you know.
And
moral support.
And that's the thought of people listening and liking what we say.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's great. Check us out on Instagram. It's Jiu-Jitsu Geeks.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, also Jiu-Jitsu Geeks.
That's right.
Twitter. Do we have Twitter?
Yeah, Jiu-Jitsu Geeks.
Jiu-Jitsu Geeks. Okay.
All that stuff. Google Jiu-Jitsu Geeks.
Yep, and you'll find all of our stuff. All
right. So, hey, thanks again, everybody, for listening. And until next time, I'm E.T.
I'm Brian.
We'll see you later.
Bye.